BBC News with Fiona MacDonald. The Iranian president, Hassan Rouhani, has said his country will honour its part of the framework deal reached on its nuclear programme, as long as others do the same. Under the agreement, Iran has promised to cut by more than two-thirds the number of centrifuges it uses to enrich uranium. In a televised address, Mr. Rouhani said the six world powers negotiating with Iran had agreed that his country's right to enrich uranium within its own territory did not pose a threat.
The world must know that we are not, we do not intend to cheat. We will keep our promises, of course, promises within the framework of our national interests. And we will honor these pledges, provided that the other side honors their promises as well.
A day after Al-Shabaab militants murdered nearly 150 people at a university in Kenya, police in neighbouring Uganda say they've received information that a similar attack is being planned there. Catherine Bairuhanga is in Kampala.
The Inspector General of Police, Kale Kaihura, says Uganda is now on high alert. He said the threat from the Somali Islamist group Al-Shabaab is focused on education institutions along a major highway that runs from the town of Jinja, about 80 kilometers east of Kampala, into the heart of the capital. Kenya and Uganda are targets of the militants because their troops are part of an African Union force fighting the group in Somalia. The last attack by Al-Shabaab in Uganda was in 2010, when a restaurant and rugby ground were bombed, killing over 70 people.
Al-Qaeda militants in Yemen are trying to consolidate their hold on a major port city as Houthi rebels continue their battle to take over Aden. Sebastian Usher has the details.
Attention has been focused on Aden in the past few days, where the Houthis and their allies, soldiers loyal to the former leader Ali Abdullah Saleh, are battling street by street to capture one of the last remaining strongholds of the president, Abdurrabu Mansour Hadi. But hundreds of kilometres to the east, Al-Qaeda seems to have scored a new victory amidst the continuing breakdown of the country. They've infiltrated and it seems all but taken over Mukalla, a city of some 200,000 people. They've broken fellow militants out of prison, raided banks, and stormed a military base, a sign that, as many fear, Al-Qaeda may gain new strength from the conflict.
The Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi has said that anyone caught looting in the city of Tikrit will be arrested. Mr. Abadi's warning follows reports of abandoned properties being looted after government forces recaptured Tikrit, the stronghold of the former Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein, from Islamist State militants last week. There's been no independent confirmation of his allegations. World News from the BBC. A man has walked free from prison in the American state of Alabama after spending nearly 30 years on death row. Anthony Ray Hinton was convicted of murdering two restaurant managers in Birmingham in 1985. He always maintained his innocence and was granted a retrial last year. When new tests on bullets from the crime scene failed to prove they came from a revolver found at Mr. Hinton's home, prosecutors dropped the case. One of India's most powerful and high-profile ministers has filed a police complaint against a clothing shop after she discovered a partially hidden camera in its fitting room. The store has denied this is part of its policy. Charles Haviland reports.
Officials in the coastal resort state of Goa say the education minister and former actress Smriti Irani was trying on outfits in a store belonging to a prominent Indian clothing chain when she noticed a CCTV device. It was said to be directed towards the cubicle and filming people from the waist up. The clothing firm's chief said cameras ought only to be placed in areas vulnerable to shoplifting, but extensive recordings of the fitting room appear to have been made. Several staff members have been detained for questioning. A case has been filed under laws relating to voyeurism and intrusion into privacy.
An indigenous tribe living in the jungles of Brazil and Venezuela has succeeded after a long campaign in securing the return of thousands of blood samples taken from its people by American researchers nearly half a century ago. The samples were extracted from members of the Yanomami tribe, some of whom are now dead, in 1967 for genetic testing. The former leading Sri Lankan cricketer, Sanat Jayasuriya, has resigned as the island's chief cricket selector, taking the rest of the selectors with him. His move came after the new government replaced the committee running the sport nationally, saying the game needed to be cleaned up. BBC News.
更多内容请关注可可英语 可可net.com。